This one sounds like a science fiction movie. A plan to store data, emails, videos, on the organic molecules that make up DNA. The research is real, and it's happening at the University of Washington. Professor Luis Sessi teaches computer science and engineering at the UW. He's one of the researchers on this project. He says we need a radical new solution.
We are actually producing data faster than our ability to store it. So, in fact, we can't keep up. So we need to either find ways of throwing out information in a principled way, or we can go after new technologies that are able to actually store all the data that we're producing.
And why DNA?
Well, turns out DNA is a fantastic information storage molecule, right? So nature evolved and tested it for us, right? And while DNA in nature encodes information about life, the molecule itself is pretty general. You can encode any kind of information you want. So what we've been exploring, and people have been exploring this for some time now, is you can actually store arbitrary digital data in DNA. So the idea is, let's repurpose DNA to store people's photographs, video, data from all of these sensors all over the world, and so on.
What other advantages does DNA have over what we're using now?
Well, there's several advantages. First, DNA is very, very dense. You can put a lot of information per unit of volume. So it can be millions of times denser than current technologies. And to give you an idea, we could store all of the data in the internet in a case of wine.
In a case of wine?
In a box the size of a case of wine. Roughly 3 zettabytes. DNA is very durable. So in the right conditions, if you dehydrate it and if you protect it, you know, somehow you can actually make it last for thousands of years as opposed to, you know, decades at best with current technologies.
And what makes us think future humans or whatever will be able to read our DNA data thousands of years from now?
Well, that's a great question. One of my favorite things about DNA is that it never gets obsolete, right? As long as there is DNA-based life on Earth, there will be reasons to read DNA. It's very different than, you know, your dusty floppy disk in your drawer that you probably can't read anymore today. So that's not going to happen to DNA.
It's not going out of style.
Right.
How do you store data? How do you store my videos, et cetera, on DNA?
Digital information is encoded in a long series of zeros and ones, right? And zeros and ones can be mapped into the 4 letters in DNA, A, C, T, G. Okay, so here's an analogy. For example, if you have a necklace with colored beads, you could have red, green, blue, and yellow. So you could map zeros and ones to each one of these colors, okay? And then you can string them. And by having a very, very large number of these necklaces, you can encode a lot of information. So this is how we do it in DNA. We get a long string of bits that could be your video, break it up into pieces. Each piece maps into a chain of DNA of nucleic acids, of DNA little molecules, right? You form a string, and a large collection of those strings can encode a very large amount of information.
Professor, this sounds very sci-fi. I'm sure many of our listeners are completely get it. I, however, have to ask, should I be scared that our data is going to morph into some sort of living, sentient data monster?
Well, the short answer is no, you shouldn't be scared. Okay, and the reason is because, first of all, the DNA that we're using for storage, there's no cellular mechanism. The DNA is, we're really just storing the information in the DNA molecule itself. There's no other mechanisms that could turn that into life. That's the first reason. Okay, so DNA is not living in and of itself. DNA encodes information for life, but for it to do its work in life, it needs a lot of machinery around it that we're not including. So we're really just using DNA as in isolation. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that we're encoding information in short pieces of DNA, and in a way that's very, very, very unlikely that you're going to encode anything that relates to life. The chances that you're going to have a monster growing out of your data is very, very little.
And what are the actual chances that this DNA data storage is actually going to happen? It's a cool idea. How realistic?
Oh, great question. So, well, we think, so as this is a collaboration between University of Washington and Microsoft Research, we've been thinking very hard about this question, you know, and there's two important steps in encoding data in DNA. One is writing DNA. The other one is reading DNA. So reading DNA is actually getting faster, very fast. Okay. So there's we do believe that the technology to read DNA is going to be there relatively soon. Enough, it'll be fast enough for storage. But for writing DNA, you know, there's quite a bit of progress to be made, and that's something that we've been exploring many alternatives in writing DNA fast enough.
Okay. So for now, I store my videos, my data, on a thumb drive in the cloud. How would this change the way I store my stuff?
First of all, you're going to be able to store more data and for much longer, right? But it'll be completely transparent. So if you think of it, the way you store data today in the cloud, you don't really know whether it's being backed up by spinning disks or flash or tape. You don't really know. So that'll be transparent to you as a user.
I won't have to do anything differently just because my daughter's ballet dancing is going to be on a DNA somewhere.
No, you're just going to store a lot more of it and for a lot longer.
Why is this data storing project so important to you personally?
To me personally?
Yeah, you're spending a lot of time on it.
I think that we need to find ways to store information for posterity. We want to be able to create a way of archiving all of human knowledge, everything that we produce for future generations. Think of it as a data trust fund. I think there's a lot of things that we learn from history, and then if we preserve history in very, very, very much detail, we might actually avoid people making mistakes we're making today, for example, or they might learn something from the past. So same way that archaeology learns about the past today, we could enable future digital archaeologists.
That's Luis Sessi, professor of computer science and engineering at the University of Washington. He's also working with researchers at Microsoft. He says we could be storing our data in DNA within the decade. Sessi and his team have already coded photos into DNA molecules and retrieved those photos again completely intact.